At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's true. Hour number two right here on the Early Line on a Wednesday morning on the Sports Grid Network. Let's talk a little bit of action here in the NFL. It's Donnie Wrightside, it's Davis Maddock, and away we go. Now, this is troubling. I like the Jacksonville Jaguars. If they are healthy, which is why we're bringing up this question, Trevor Lawrence, a quarterback, solid. Wide receivers across the board. Travis Etienne in the backfield. A lead in the AFC South. A playoff win already under their belt last year against the Los Angeles Chargers. Maybe the sky's the limit. Maybe even, Davis, they could challenge for the number one overall seed in the AFC. But after that primetime football game on Monday night, I'm starting to question the future here of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But talk to me about the impact of Trevor Lawrence going down with quote unquote just a high ankle sprain for a mobile quarterback here.
Well, I definitely don't think they are going to get the one seed now. That was a really bad loss for them. I was clicking around on the New York Times playoff permutations because obviously I'm trying to figure out how likely it is that my Kansas City Chiefs can still get the one seed. The answer is that if they lose this game to the Bills this weekend, it ain't happening. Although it did became a little bit more likely with that loss for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Also, what's interesting is that C.J. Beathard also got injured in that game. He got banged up. So we might, and look, I hope that Nathan Rourke steps in. I mean, that is one of my things on my Christmas wish list, which is that we get to see Nathan Rourke start a game for the Jacksonville Jaguars in the regular season. And the Jags do not have, like, this super hard schedule to end the year. They get to go against Flacco and the Browns. Big game is going to be primetime game, home to the Ravens. They're going to lose that game. I think they lose that game, even if Trevor Lawrence starts. But then they finish the year, Bucks, Panthers, Titans. That's as easy as it gets. They should be able, I mean, they probably win those, with Doug Peterson, you know, playing there at quarterback. It's just not going to be a tough spot for them. But Kirk out. I don't think we see Kirk again. It sounds like he's having like a core muscle surgery. Welcome to everyone here on Radio The Early Line with Davis Maddock and Donnie Wrightside. Ultimately, I would say any chance they had of, you know, making the AFC Conference Championship game probably included them being the one seed. I don't think they get the one seed now. So, you know, tough luck for our Jacksonville Jaguars, I think.
It is. We'll see what they do this week against Cleveland. But also, if you're looking at, you know, trying to take some props here, Rourke was a very good runner in college football. Wouldn't be interesting to see what those props would be if he does appear in an NFL game. But also, I want to ask you this question, because the only guy that didn't get injured last week with the quarterbacks, you had a key injury right away. And I feel bad for anybody with Christian Kirk props there on Monday Night Football. That's an absolute shame. He catches a dime early in that football game, goes down awkwardly, and looks like it's a core muscle injury. And they're saying that if he does come back, maybe for the AFC title game. So some wishful thinking there on the Jaguars side. Let me ask you this, Davis. Who picks up the increase at the wide receiver position? Is it Ridley? Is it Jones? Who gets more production now with Christian Kirk down?
Well, it'll definitely be Ridley to some extent. We actually saw Zay Jones do this last year in a slightly different circumstance, but functioning as the number two wide receiver for the Jaguars last year. Evan Ingram obviously had some crazy games down the stretch, but week 14 last year for Zay Jones, 8 for 77 in a touchdown. How about this in week 15 last year against Dallas, 6 for 109 and 3 touchdowns for Zay Jones. Also, The guy who stepped up immediately and actually just played for Christian Kirk last week, Parker Washington from Penn State. I kind of liked him at Penn State. He is, you know, a very low draft capital rookie. He was 185th overall last year at Penn State. He was, you know, the leading wide receiver on the team. He declared as a true junior, had 100 more receiving yards than everyone else on the team. Kind of interested to see what Parker Washington might do. And there'll be a temptation for people to chase Evan Engram. I am not an Evan Engram guy, so I will not be chasing the Evan Engram props up the board for sure.
Talented wide receiver core, so they can absorb a loss there. We'll see if he does come back. And again, if he does, that means the Jacksonville Jaguars might be heading to the Super Bowl at that time. We probably won't see Kirk for the rest of the season here. Let's take a look at the AFC South, because from what we were thinking about 2 weeks ago, hey, can the Houston Texans beat the Jacksonville Jaguars and maybe climb ahead of them? They couldn't do that. But now we saw, and we thought, an easy victory on Monday Night Football, where the Cincinnati Bengals came in and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in overtime. Now we look at those odds, a minus 220 price to win that division for the Jacksonville Jaguars, with the Houston Texans at a plus 330 price. And don't look now, it's the red hot Indianapolis Colts behind them at a plus 470 price. These three football teams, do we have chaos, Davis? And who wins the AFC South?
You know, I'm looking at the Texans schedule here and I'm trying to find a loss. So they are favorite against the Jets this week. They will be slight favorites, probably 2.5 point favorites on the road against the Titans. They will almost for sure be home favorites against the Browns. But again, probably not by much, you know, 2.5, 3 points at home against the Browns. Very good Browns defense. Flacco, you know, I mean, old man's out there spinning it, led the NFL in air yards last week. Then home to the Texans. Then what might be, I mean, look, could we see a play-in game in Week 18 on the road against the Colts? I think it's totally possible that that ends up like a legit, like, playoff game between the Colts and the Texans that week. Like, we could see an 11-win Texans team in their first season with DeMeco Ryans and C.J. Stroud. That's pretty incredible.
I'll tell you what else is incredible. We're going to be in the month of December with a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. And I don't know who thought about this, but these are going to start at the same time, 8:15 p.m. One of those games, the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers. DJ Tommy DeVito back under center for those Giants. Can they hang around the Packers in this game, Davis?
No, they can't. They can't hang around the Packers. I mean, I guess maybe I'm being a little bit unfair to the Giants and Tommy DeVito. Like, he looked a little bit better in their most recent two games. But honestly, like, what are the Giants doing beating the Commanders and the Patriots? They lose those games. They are in pole freaking position to get Caleb Williams or Drake May, honestly. Like, and I know, like, guys are trying, and you can't ask. Players don't tank. Coaches don't tank. Front offices tank. But I know Joe Shane in that front office is watching them beat the Patriots, and he is just punching air. He did not want to see his team win that game. I guarantee it.
Exactly. It's tough because as a fan, you're supposed to go, look, Philadelphia is home to tanking here. And we threw away like 5, 6 seasons because we knew what the greater good was. And you can enjoy a team with Joel Embiid, who, again, not winning championships, but you knew the quality was going to return. Each loss mounts here. We had a chance to get maybe Caleb Williams or the second best quarterback in the draft. And now you're looking down. And me, being an NFC East guy, every time the Giants win a football game, cheers go up in the DRS household because we know what that means to draft position. Hey, Washington, win every game on your schedule except the Philadelphia Eagles games. Hey, the Giants, you do the same down the stretch except the Philadelphia Eagles games, and everybody in the NFC East certainly will be happy and cheering that on. Now, we're going to talk more NFL action next because I know this is going to be a banger this weekend. It's the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. A lot to deal with in the AFC. Come on back and let's talk some football. It's Davis and Donnie on a Wednesday morning right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Meaningful matchups is what we're talking about here in the NFL, and I love this time of year because, yes, of course we know September and October football is important, but if you're playing your best football down the stretch, catch lightning in a bottle, you can win yourself a Lombardi Trophy. The next game we're going to bring up here, how about this one? Buffalo versus Kansas City. It seems like they tee it up every single year, regular season and playoffs here. We've been waiting for the Buffalo Bills to take down Kansas City in the playoffs, something they're not able to do, even if it looks like the Kansas City Chiefs need a miracle to beat those Buffalo Bills. I don't know if they're going to need a miracle this weekend. The line, the Buffalo Bills getting 2 points, two and a half points, at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a total of 47 and a half. Interesting doings in this ballgame because you see the Chiefs coming off a loss here, playing at Green Bay. You don't want to see that, but certainly revenge factor you want to get back. But also the Buffalo Bills, a heartbreaking loss in overtime to the Philadelphia Eagles. The key ingredient there, Davis, is that the Buffalo Bills didn't have to play the very next week against the Kansas City Chiefs. They got a buffer there with the bye week here. Let's start in this football game with some general thoughts. Chiefs and the Bills from your perspective, Davis.
The Chiefs are in a miserable spot, honestly. The offense just doesn't look right. The defense was sort of the calling card this season. Crazy stat from the game against the Packers. Only two stops the entire game, right? So the Packers only had to punt twice. Until the beginning of the fourth quarter, Jordan Love had thrown two incompletions, right? They were just the Packers were getting the ball. They were going right down the field. Now, they weren't getting down the field. It wasn't like explosive play, score in like 2 minutes. It was like they were long, hard drives. AJ Dillon, I think, got to 18 rushing attempts in that game. Patrick Taylor played a little bit. Like they were, but it was methodical, and the Chiefs just couldn't get Jordan Love off the field. And then when the Chiefs would get the ball, they went right down and scored their first two possessions, and it was fine. But then in the second half, they got the ball, and it did not look near as comfortable. The Bills, it's sort of this crazy thing with the Bills where I actually think there's not really anything quote-unquote wrong with the Bills, right? They are the fifth highest scoring team in the NFL. They have gained the fourth most yards. They are the fourth most yards per play. Like, there's nothing about the Bills' overall roster that says, like, this is a bad team that deserves to miss the playoffs. But they have just gotten... I mean, no team has gotten more unlucky, really. Like, that loss against the Broncos, brutal. The loss against the Bengals, totally deserved, right? They were just not the better team in that game. That was kind of like the peak of worrying about Josh Allen. The loss against the Patriots, how bad does that look right now? That week one overtime loss against the Jets, how bad does that look right now? I don't know. I as a Chiefs fan, I'm going to spend my entire week worrying about this game. It's not the team that I really wanted to see. They're 2-2 against each other in sort of the Mahomes Allen era. Obviously, one of those literally, as a Chiefs fan, all time fluky win. That overtime, you know, when it's grim, be the Grim Reaper, 13-second left game, all time fluke. The Bills should have put that game away. Remember in that game, McDermott told the kicker, keep it low, keep it on the ground, pooch it, and he didn't. People forget that. That game could have been over. They could have wasted time on that, and the kicker didn't listen to the coach and booted it out the back of the end zone. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, I'm worried, Donnie. I'm worried about this game.
And specifically, Josh Allen coming off maybe his best game of the year. He was unbelievable against the Philadelphia Eagles in that game, and they came away with a loss here. So obviously, urgency is the utmost importance on the Buffalo Bills. It's one of those teams, Davis, I still can't quit because we know how talented they can be on offense here. And you just got to get some stops on defense, and they will be just fine. But they have a lot of losses mounting up, and quite frankly, I look at it like this. I think they can still afford a split to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys, two very good football teams, and make the playoffs. They lose both, they're done, but you certainly want to get that winning started sooner than later, which means against the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. If we take a look at the Buffalo Bills on the season, the win total updated at 8.5. If they want to win the AFC Championship, it's 20-1, and a Super Bowl champion at 35-1. Nobody wants to see in the AFC the Buffalo Bills get to the playoffs because of how talented they are. The question, Davis, is can they actually get to the playoffs in your mind?
So right now I'm looking at the playoff permutations, and if they lose this game to the Chiefs but win that game against the Cowboys, win at the Chargers, win home to the Patriots, and win at the Dolphins, they are 47% to make the playoffs, 53% to be out of the playoffs. If they win the Chiefs game but lose the Cowboys one because of the tie-breaking stuff, it gets them up to 56% to make the playoffs. And then obviously if they win all of these games, they are a stone lock to make the playoffs. But if they lose both, they are 3% to make the playoffs. So I know I just threw a lot at you, but really the key point is they have to win at least one of them. They cannot lose both of them. And they would prefer to win this one than the Cowboys one just for tie-breaking, seeding, whatever stuff there. But it's a long road to hoe, because even if they do win, if they get a split, they still need a couple other things to go their way in order to ensure that they make it there. And it's not ever fun to be a football team and need other results to go your way, to not hold your own destiny in your hands.
Buffalo, Kansas City, a sensational game here, national at 425. The Sunday night football game going to do big numbers as well. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys currently sitting at a 3.5-point favorite in the total at the FanDuel Sportsbook, coming at 52.5. For my money, Davis, I came into this, you know, after the Eagles had beat the Buffalo Bills, I said they're going to lose one of these two next football games here. And I thought it actually would be more confident they'd lose to the Dallas Cowboys than the San Francisco 49ers. The Eagles got punched in the mouth against the 49ers, now seemingly in a must-win position against the Dallas Cowboys coming up in this game. Dallas is humming on offense, which is not good news for a Philadelphia secondary that's giving up top wide receivers, doing whatever they want in offenses, moving up and down the field. This game sitting at a 3.5. If we take a look at this on Sunday night from your perspective, Davis, who gets the W, and is this going to be a high-scoring affair?
I mean, this murderer's row of games that the Eagles have been in, so they go, they play against the Dolphins, they played against the Cowboys 2 weeks ago, they went Chiefs, they went Bills, they went 49ers, then back to the Cowboys. Like, that just like a, I mean, that's got to be the hardest six-game stretch any team has had this season. Like, really unbelievable stuff. My concern for the Philadelphia Eagles, who I love Jalen Hurts, always have. I think Jalen Hurts is like pretty much the definition of a winning quarterback. Like, when you ask, there's a lot of things special about him, but like, the dude, he has lost 18 total cumulative games since 2016. It's 2023. He's lost 18 total games. Obviously, eight of those came in the season where it was a dumpster fire in Philadelphia, which you would remember. So if you kind of throw that crazy, like, Carson Wentz left, we don't know who our coach is, this is all messed up season out, I don't think you can argue that Jalen Hurts is not one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. My concern, though, is this knee thing. It's clearly a problem. It is limiting Jalen Hurts, not only as a rusher, which changes a lot about their offense. I think you can really see that and in how ineffective DeAndre Swift has been as a rusher, because defenses are not respecting the quarterback part of the zone read stuff. They're just expecting when they run that play for it to go to Jalen Hurts, or for it to go to DeAndre Swift. But also, it's really limiting his ability to plant off that back foot. I thought you really saw it in a couple of those deep throws to Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown last week, where he just can't quite get his back leg planted how he wants it. And, I can't call this game, though. It is going to be too close. I can't call it yet. I got to think more about it.
It's going to be a good one. And also keep in mind, it's not only the stretch of games, Davis, they're playing, but every week they're playing at a rest disadvantage, when rest is the key ingredient in the NFL. Dallas is going to have their third straight home football game, and also played last Thursday night, which means that mini bye is going to go in their favor. If the Eagles win this football game, it's going to take a big time effort, yes, from Jalen Hurts, but maybe a little silver lining coming back with Dallas Goedert expected to be back in the lineup. They haven't gotten anything out of the tight end position since he was injured last time out against the Dallas Cowboys. Let's switch things over. We're still going to talk a lot of football here, but our central focus next is on college football in the playoff. Mark Zeno is going to join the show coming up next. But don't go anywhere. Keep the dial on SiriusXM channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We can't get enough of college football action, even though we're in sort of a little bit of a delay. Army-Navy game coming up this weekend, but certainly the central focus for us is going to be on the college football playoff and bowl season. And quite frankly, that hot stove is going to be red hot right up until these games are played. Davis Maddock, Donnie Wrightside, now joined by Mark Zeno here in the morning. Mark, good morning. We got a lot to talk about today.
DRS, Davis, great to be with you guys as always. I'm sad that college football season is kind of winding down here, but we got another 3 weeks of bowls coming up, so let's get it going.
Yeah, where did week zero go? Yesterday we were breaking down games for week zero, and now we're breaking down games for basically week zero because we are in the playoffs here. But let's have some fun and get it started. Pro Football Today on Sunday, we watched live as we saw the Final Four get announced. Michigan 1, Washington 2, Alabama 4, Texas 3, right across the board. And the reason I said 4 and 3 is because we didn't know if either one of those football teams were going to be in. When the board flipped for Texas at number 3, you knew where the committee was going to go. That was meant Alabama was going to be 4 and FSU number 5. Let's start right there, Mark. Your thought process when that college football playoff was announced.
Well, look, I'd somebody who beat the drum all season long that you're not going to leave out an undefeated Power 5 conference champion, and then Jordan Travis got hurt and it changed the dynamic. I don't think the College Football Playoff Committee got it wrong, but I don't think they got it right. And I think if you would have flipped it and put Florida State in over Alabama, I would tell you the same thing. I don't think they got it wrong, but I don't think they got it right. Somebody's always going to be upset here and not going to be happy with the result. My biggest issue with the College Football Playoff Committee and the logic that they used: if Florida State, as currently constructed, is not better than Alabama, then they are also certainly not better than Georgia and shouldn't have been ranked in front of them either. Like, that is it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but it kind of tips your hand a little bit into their thinking that, you know, okay, that was enough for us to leave them out, but then you have to rank them properly. And in reality, I mean, I know what we're looking at as far as rankings are concerned, but we know why Washington is the longest long shot to win this thing. And we also know that Florida State and Washington, among the first 8 or 9 teams, would be dogs on neutral fields against all those teams. I mean, theoretically, Georgia would still be a favorite to go over all these teams with the exception of Michigan. So, you know, I get what the committee was doing, and I understand why they wanted the 4 best teams in, the 4 healthiest teams in. The idea that we're going to sit here and try to litigate this now in America is a whole different conversation, but it's rather embarrassing that we're going to try to sue the College Football Playoff Committee. Get over it, guys, okay? Learn to deal with disappointment. Grow up. Tell your kids not everything is going to work out the way they want it in life, and grow a pair. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Put on a helmet. Life's tough.
Ultimately, I think you're right. I landed on it felt like a fairly impossible decision to make, because basically the reason that the College Football Playoff Committee exists is for this exact reason. It's for the Florida State situation. It is for a team that is clearly worse than their baseline. Yeah, they're 13-0. They are a Power 5 conference champion. But it is inarguable that they are a way worse team without Jordan Travis. I mean, what we got, 6.5, 7 quarters of them playing with the second string and the third string quarterback. Guess what? They were worse. They were a lot worse. Like, you know, Keon Coleman basically could have just been out there in the conference championship in joggers. He wasn't ever going to get tackled in that game. They weren't trying to get the ball to him. It's just not the way that it worked out. I think everyone who approaches things from a more, spreadsheet-based sense can be like, yeah, guess what? Alabama's probably going to win this freaking college football championship after looking. I mean, Alabama had this crazy season where they looked like maybe the worst iteration of Alabama in forever and then kind of gutted it out and then got better in the end. But how do you look these Florida State kids in the face and be like, you did everything you could and we still didn't reward you? I think it's tough. I definitely think there's an argument for putting Florida State in over Washington, because I think they're, you know, numerically, statistically, they are a better team. But Washington has their quarterback, and their quarterback, by the way, probably going to be like a first round pick in the NFL. So I don't know. I think I landed, Mark, on they did the right thing, and this would have been my 4 as well.
Yeah, again, I mean, Alabama winning sort of threw the apple cart upside down, right? Because had they not, let's just for argument's sake say Georgia wins, right? You get Georgia, Michigan, and then Washington. Now you're in a spot between an undefeated Florida State and a one-loss Texas. And probably, guess what? Florida State still would have been left out of that equation, right? Like, so it's not just about Alabama getting in over Florida State. The committee basically told you that was not one of the best 4 teams in the nation without their starting quarterback. What do you want me to tell Florida State? Guys, guess what? You're on the outside looking in. Deal with it. I don't know what to tell you. Like, don't whine about it. Unfortunately, circumstances beyond your control, that your quarterback got his leg snapped like a twig, and that's sad because Jordan Travis was a hell of a player. But there's no other way around this. It's just the idea that this is still a television event. It's still about entertainment. It's still about dollars, and it is also about putting the best four teams on the biggest stage in the sport. And unfortunately, Florida State wasn't one of those.
And bad beats do happen in college football. And by the way, Florida State caught one of the biggest bad beat advantages in the history of the BCS. In 2000, Miami beat them head-to-head. Florida State went to the college football playoff and then embarrassed themselves against Oklahoma, which that Miami team was red hot and would have smoked Oklahoma in that championship. Let me ask you this question, because a lot of people bring this up. And it's not fair that Florida State got left out, but I completely agree with the decision that the committee made, because I think we have a wonderful Final Four, and we're not worrying about, okay, if a wildcat Florida State team can rumble to the top of the college football standings. Now, it would be fun to see it play out if we had more teams, but we don't. But the advantage here coming in, or should I say the argument coming in, was, do you remember what Cardale Jones did with Ohio State? And I counter this point, Mark, and I want your opinion on this. Cardale Jones stepped up in a big moment, threw for 257 and three touchdowns, and his team absolutely destroyed their opponent. So the committee goes, this is a viable team. If Rodemaker comes out against the Florida Gators and throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns, and or Glenn looks like, wow, this kid is a really good quarterback, Florida State would be in the college football playoff. But the committee, for me, Mark, watched the first half against Louisville and goes, you can just see Florida State shouldn't be in the top four. What's your opinion on that?
I think there's 100% fact to it. I mean, the fact of the matter is they had one shot to prove, or two chances, I should say, with Rodemaker and then Glenn, to prove that whoever the backup was suitable enough to make this team competitive against the three of the best teams in the nation. Guess what? They didn't. They looked like a team that was quarterbacked by me or my eight-year-old sons. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, there was just not – the option of a forward pass working was next to zero for the Florida State Seminoles. That is a fair thing. I mean, if you can show the committee that you're viable, then they will take that into account. You can only judge what you see. You can't judge what you haven't seen. I have no idea how Florida State would fare against Michigan, Washington, or Texas. What I do know is how they fared against Florida and how they fared against Louisville, and it didn't look like a team that could be competitive with the best four teams in the country. So I think that's absolutely fair. And to your point, DRS, guess what? It is unfair what happened to them. I don't know what else to tell you other than stop crying and move on to the next phase of your life. I can't help you.
I also think there is something to the Big Ten teams specifically where they only really – I mean, what are the important games that Michigan and Ohio State play every year? I guess you could say the Penn State game for Michigan and the Ohio State game. I mean, those are the only important games that both of those teams play every single year. And then what happens every single year when Michigan and Ohio State – show up. Sometimes the result goes their way, but most of the time, Mark, the two Big Ten teams, Michigan and Ohio State, look to me to be a worse class of team than Georgia and Alabama every single year. And I think there are a lot of reasons for that. I mean, obviously the recruiting pool is very different. And I mean, Alabama and Georgia every single week is like the Super Bowl for them. I think that should factor into the college football playoff decision-making moving forward. Like a one-loss Ohio State team, never getting in, right? Never getting in the way it's constituted.
Well, if Oklahoma State had beaten Texas, they would have gotten in. And Louisville had beaten Florida State, Ohio State would have been the benefactor of that, right? So if Florida State would have had a loss and Texas would have had two losses, and Georgia wins, the benefactor of this Ohio State is your fourth team in. So it was possible. That said, I mean – the SEC was down this year, and it hurt Georgia big time, right? Like, Georgia's best win was Missouri. Is Missouri legitimately a top 10 team, guys, like power ratings-wise? Aren't they an underdog to every team 1 through 15 other than Louisville? Louisville's now, like, what, 18 after their loss, whatever it is. But they're an underdog to everybody on a neutral field. So, and that's no disrespect. You guys, DRS, you know how much I've played on Missouri this year and bragged about that team. But when we're talking about the college football playoff, they don't match up with everybody else. So, the SEC was down this year. By far, the Pac-12 we know is the best and deepest conference in America, and they only were able to get one team in. That's Oregon's fault and Dan Lanning's fault. Do I have to recount this again? I'm still mad about this. I'm still mad about Oregon letting me down, DRS. But, you know, there is all that. That said, to your point, you know, Michigan this year I think is a different breed. And, guys, I lean on Michigan actually to beat Alabama. I think the world is looking at this thing going, Well, Alabama just beat Georgia, right? And Alabama, you know, is if you could beat the number one team in the land, of course you could beat Michigan. I don't know, guys. Michigan versus Georgia on a neutral field, by my numbers and power rating, I have Michigan as a 1.5-point favorite. This Georgia team this year kept their ranking and kept their status based off of they played a really weak schedule, and they just looked as good. And everybody kept saying, well, you beat the team that won 29 in a row. Oh, the other 12 games, other than this year, don't matter to anything else in the ratings. You're only counting what you did this year. So last year's national championship and the year before that have no bearing on any of this. This year, Michigan is a better team than Georgia, and they're being undervalued here with this short number. I think Michigan is going to end up upsetting Alabama. Well, not even upsetting. That's the wrong word. They're going to end up beating Alabama.
I think it's going to be a great game. The way you beat Alabama is not shotgun five wide and get after it. You can have double tight end sets, run that football, slow that game down. It should be a lot of fun to watch. From the Rose Bowl coming up, we're going to talk college football futures. Who wins the championship? And get a quick preview here of the bowls that are coming up. Don't go anywhere. The Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The hot stove in Major League Baseball certainly heating up as some big names are due to sign, but that hot stove is going to continue to burn for the college football playoff right up until kickoff of the Rose Bowl with Alabama and Michigan. The college football playoff is set. Michigan 1, Washington 2, Texas 3, Alabama 4. But Mark Zeno, let me ask you this, because we do have odds out here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Michigan, the favorites to win the college football championship, plus 175. Alabama right behind them at a plus 210 price. Texas plus 260. And by the wayside here, Washington at an 8-1. Talk to me about some of these prices and where you might be biting out of that apple.
On Alabama that I put back in late November to win the national title at 13-1. So I'm sitting pretty with that right now. That said, again, as I said a moment ago, I don't like the matchup for Alabama here in the first round against Michigan. I think there's a very real chance that Michigan wins this game. And the folks who are betting on Alabama right now are banking on two things, and they're narrative-based. And I've said this repeatedly, guys. You don't bet narratives. Like, they may end up working out, but that's not the reason I would ever get to the window based off a narrative like, oh, it's Alabama, and yeah, they're the SEC team in, so they're going to beat everybody. That's a narrative. And, oh, by the way, Jim Harbaugh's never won the big one. He's never won the semifinal, never made it to the championship. Like, those are narrative things that are not reality every given year, even though people will make them that. So I think that's where all this Alabama money is coming in, which is why this line opened at 2.5, now down to 1.5. But what the public doesn't realize, again, is that this Alabama team, while good enough to beat Georgia, is more a referendum that Georgia wasn't as good as we thought they were than necessarily that either Michigan or either Georgia or Alabama is better than Michigan. So I do have a ticket on Alabama. I think Michigan wins. And I think that when it comes to it, Texas may have the best shot to upset the apple cart here because of their offense. I mean, is it fair to say that that is the best offense in the four? Yeah, it is, by a wide margin. You can keep touting Michael Penix in Washington. I don't know how many more close games this team can win and survive. I just don't know that they have that many more left in them. This is a team that hasn't won a game by double digits since September 23rd, guys. It has been that long since they beat a team by margin. I give them credit because survive in advance this year until we expand the playoffs, which is stupid. Next year is the name of the game, survive in advance. They've done that, but you got to get through two more games against real legitimate talent. I don't see Washington getting past Texas in a game that feels like a shootout.
Mark Zeno, Donnie Wrightside, Davis Maddock talking some college football here. Davis, I know he's excited to talk some college football here, so we'll go ahead and talk it, Davis. Let it rip.
Well, I was just going to say on the Penix thing, I'm one of these people. I'm one of these people that watches him play, and I'm like, that dude could sell me a used car. Like, I would buy anything that Michael Penix Jr. was selling. They also have two guys who are going to be top 80, 90 picks in the NFL draft in Roma Dunze and Jalen McMillan. Jalen McMillan has barely played this year. I think he's been active in five games, but two of those games, he only played like five snaps. I'm going to be one of the slappies who is out there saying, I think Washington can beat Texas. Now, if they do beat Texas, if I end up being right about that, No, I don't think I got the stones to take them against Michigan or Alabama. I think they probably get ran in that game. It'll be like when Oklahoma actually used to win the first game every once in a while and then get slapped around in the final. But I do think they can beat Texas.
How about that?
All I mean, look, they can.
That happens.
Right, guys? I mean, they can. I'm not saying that they can't. I can't sit here and watch this team continue to defy logic from the standpoint of, you know, college football is a game of slim margins, especially in conference play, as we've seen. You know, remember, Big Ten teams walking to Iowa get beat. Big 12 teams going to Iowa State and get beat. You know, I mean, those are not, like, programs that anybody really worries about. So the fact that Washington was able to skate by Arizona and Arizona State and just get by Stanford, like, you know, when you're playing week in and week out this level of competition, it's really, really tough to not be able to beat teams by margin.
How about Oregon? Takes a loss in the Pac-12 final and says, hey, what's your prize going to be? Okay, it's the Fiesta Bowl at a 10 a.m. local start against Liberty and a 15.5 point favorite for Oregon. 64.5 mark is the total here. Yay! Motivation factors all over the place as Liberty, yes, going to be very excited to play Oregon. The question for me is, who is Oregon actually going to be playing on the field? Probably not Bo Nix, or does Bo Nix want to ride this out and say, one last time with the guys at the Fiesta Bowl. Yay, bowl season, Mark.
Yeah, well, I mean, motivation and situation dictate a lot more than who's got the better roster, right? I mean, this is a game that I'll absolutely win on. Look, there are some college bowl games I've already fired on just because based off of the number and where they are, and I'm not too worried about the opt-outs because of the situation and who's going to be playing and things of that nature and where they're playing. Some of these bowl games have lined up as like de facto home games for one team versus another. So I think that's part of it. But yeah, I mean, would it shock me if Bo Nix played? No. I mean, he is like 36 and has played every game of his college career. So I haven't seen him ever walk away from an opportunity to play football. So it wouldn't surprise me. But I mean, for a team like Oregon and Dan Lanning, I know that they probably want to win a bowl game, but I don't know that they have the motivation or really desire to. This reminds me last year of Tulane and USC. You remember that game where it was a shootout that, that Tulane ended up winning in the last minute. I'd probably take the over here. I'd definitively take the points with Liberty, just knowing that they're going to go all out and try to win this thing. So I don't know that you can lay that big of a number with Oregon.
Well, the motivation for Liberty, very high. The motivation for Oregon, I mean, their season ended last week, right? Well, Bo Nix, I mean, he's got to have a good advertisement for when he opens his insurance company next week. And I guess maybe going out on top would be, you know, would be like he could put that in the commercials, you know, him walking off the field with the Fiesta Bowl trophy. Speaking of motivation, I got a team that cares less than Oregon. Ohio State has basically already said, we do not care what happens at the Cotton Bowl. The Cotton Bowl, we laugh. We laugh at the Cotton Bowl. Kyle McCord already entering into the transfer portal. Head coach Ryan Day basically, I assume, took him to a meeting and said, buddy, we are going to get someone. We're going to have someone who's better than you as our quarterback next year, so you can go play at Tulane or wherever you want, but you are not welcome here anymore. So they are going to have one of their backup quarterbacks playing. Ryan Day hasn't even said which one. Could be Devin Brown, could be Lincoln Kindholz. We'll see. Emeka Ikpuka, probably not going to play. Marvin Harrison Jr., probably, I would actually say 0% is Marvin Harrison Jr. going to be playing in this game. This will be the opt-out bowl. On the other side, Mark, everyone from Missouri is going to play. Missouri having a chance to win the Cotton Bowl. This is like the Super Bowl if you are from the University of Missouri.
Yeah, and look, I think Missouri is going to end up closing a favorite when it's all said and done. This is a game I already bet. Because I knew this number was going to move and move fast. There was no way Ohio State had any interest in playing in this game. And look, I would argue that let's just say everybody else is playing other than Marvin Harrison Jr., I still would bet Missouri in this game because the motivation factor. And guess what? Ohio State without Marvin Harrison Jr. is a pretty pedestrian offense. The defense is pretty good, but you guys have heard me, you know, tout the Missouri drum all season long and Brady Cook and how good he's been. And yes, this is a huge game for the program, a huge win for the program. They're going to go all out to do this thing. Eli Drinkwitz has kind of turned this whole thing around for Missouri and made them actually relevant. That's what happens when you get good quarterback play, guys. And Brady Cook next year is a guy that should be in the Heisman conversation when the season starts because he's going to put up huge numbers there along with Luther Burden for Missouri. So showcase game for all those guys. And certainly Missouri, I think, is the side to go here.
Peach Bowl, Mississippi and Penn State here. And we say that Davis talked about like a Super Bowl for Missouri. This is always Penn State Super Bowl. Get to a meaningless bowl game, win it, get a five-year extension at Monster Money. What a season it was in Penn State with double-digit wins. Lane Kiffin on the opposite side of this one as a dog at +4.5. The total listed at 49.5. Does Penn State come away with a meaningless Peach Bowl win, or does Lane Kiffin come over the top and say, not this time, James Franklin?
I mean, look, they should rename this bowl to the coaches who couldn't get over the hump bowl, right? Like Lane Kiffin can never beat Alabama, yeah, and James Franklin can never beat Michigan or Ohio State. They should call this the hump bowl because neither one of them are going to get over the hump. So I don't know which one you really want to pick here. I do think this total's a little low. I know Penn State's defense is really good, but this feels like a game where this, you know, is both teams are in the mid-20s, if not into the 30s here. And I think both these coaches and both these teams will want to win this game. Why? Because what's the best consolation to not beating Alabama and Michigan and Ohio State respectively is to go out and win a New Year's Six Bowl because you're there. So I think this will be one of the more competitive, more fun, more interesting games you're going to watch. And the loser of this game can definitively say, hey, they'll never get over the hump because they lost to the coach who couldn't get over the hump.
Well, speaking of controversial bowl games, I gotta toss this idea out there. I've seen this floated on social media, but next up we have the Orange Bowl, which is Florida State and Georgia. So these are the two teams that really felt the most stubbed. So I have this to ask to you. I don't think there's any chance of this happening. I would put this at sub 5%. But people on Twitter are just saying, what if Florida State said, we ain't playing? We are against the system. We think we got absolutely robbed. We don't want to make a bunch of money for the networks, for the College Football Playoff Committee. I'm sure there are probably legal obligations standing in the way from them doing this. Like, the show has to go on. One, how much do you think they want to win this game? And two, do you think there's any chance, is my sub 5% number right on them not accepting the invitation?
Well, look, if they don't accept the invitation, guess what? Somebody else will fill the slot. Like, that's just what the reality is. There's plenty of time before this game kicks off. They'll shuffle the deck and put somebody else in the game, and that'll be the end of it. I mean, they'll move Clemson against Georgia, and you get one hell of a bowl game there. Like you know, that's a game that everybody in the Southeast would watch. So I agree with you. I don't think there's a chance it would happen. But it's forget the money for the networks. The school and the ACC still get money for the bowl game and the win. And that's something that Florida State absolutely would – be eviscerated for by the ACC if they walked away from this game. So I think there's less than 1% chance that they don't play in the game. I think a 99% chance in the game that they get their asses whooped in the game. And oh, by the way, that doesn't validate the reason that Florida State doesn't belong in the College Football Playoff. There is no validate. It's the same thing as the NCAA tournament. Because a team that was on the bubble gets in, they lose their first round game, that doesn't invalidate them getting to the tournament. So it's the same thing here. Whether Florida State wins or loses this game has no bearing on what the College Football Playoff Committee did, and that game doesn't matter to it. That said, Georgia could play a whole bunch of backups and still win this game. I think they will, and I would tell you, too, take the under, because I don't think Georgia's going to have a whole lot of offense in this game, and we know Florida State's not going to have a whole lot of offense in this game. Two teams that don't really want to win playing a lot of defense sounds like an under to me.
How about that down on South Beach? We'll see how it plays out quickly here. Obviously, we know the semifinals coming up. Alabama, Michigan, Texas, and Washington. Quick pointers to look forward to in these games, Mark. How about a winner? How about a side that you're eyeing up earlier?
Yeah, I think Michigan is the right side here, especially against a short number that's less than a field goal. So I'll be on the Wolverines despite my ticket with Alabama. It's just a mini hedge here for me that if Michigan at least comes out on top, I can win some money individually on the game. If Texas gets past Washington, and I think that they will, I don't know if they'll cover this number. I think that's a game where the last team that has the ball ends up winning. That's kind of what it has to set up as. Washington's defense is probably better than Oklahoma State's, so the fact that Texas was able to mollywop them shouldn't tell you that much, but still, Texas offense is really good, and if they can end up winning this thing, a Texas-Michigan, or even a Texas-Alabama national championship would do ratings off of the charts.
We will follow those ratings. He's Mark Zeno, the mouth in the South, and coming up on the College Football Playoff scene and bowl season, we will talk to him many more times here on the Early Line. Thanks for your time today, Mark. We are going to go to Fade the Public next. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment before we hit hour number three on the early line. Davis Maddock, Donnie Wrightside here, having fun. We're talking a lot. We took NCAA football. We're talking NFL football, college basketball, professional basketball. But now's the time where we take a look here and leave it up to the people. Who will win the in-season tournament from the Sports Grid Network here? We put that out on X. Four options you get. The Pacers, the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Pelicans. Why? Because come on, guys. It's the Final Four here. You can't have any other options listed here, even though apparently some people on social media wanted some other options for different scenarios here and how they felt about the tournament overall. But that's not the question here. So I'm going to ask you this, Davis. If we give you these four teams here, and granted, we know there's going to be some upsets that could happen here and the price points that are there, but for your money, who's winning this tournament?
I want to actually fade the public here, and I want to take the Pacers because I think the tournament literally exists for teams like this, you know, a team that could maybe be a 6 seed, a 7 seed, a team that's going to make the play-in tournament, you know, later at the end of the season in April. Like, the Boston Celtics don't need to win the in-season tournament. The Milwaukee Bucks don't really need to win the in-season tournament. It's not for them. They have their sets. They have their sights set on a higher goal. I'm taking the Indiana Pacers to win the in-season tournament. I think it's like a legit good pick, actually.
If we take a look at the way the people voted here, 24% voting for the Pacers, 41% voting here for the Bucks, the Lakers at 22%, and the Pelicans at 12.1%. My vote, yes, it did go to the Pacers because I like a little bit of chaos. But if you are the NBA, you got sort of two teams on the outside looking in that would be fun, the Pacers and the Pelicans. But also, you knew the NBA wanted those big-time franchises and superstar athletes to come to town. Inaugural NBA Cup, and you got that. Giannis, one of the biggest superstars in the world. LeBron James, possibly the biggest superstar in the world, certainly in the basketball world here. It should be fun to watch it play out, how much these players care, because they said yesterday, the bag is big, and they are right about that. Hour number three coming up next, right here on the Sports Grid Network. This is the Early Line.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.